Now, I hope that you wrote down your goals for the program. If you didn't, go do it right now. You've got to write down your goals before we continue. Okay, good. So in any case, welcome back. Now that we've gotten clear on what you want to obtain, now we're going to take a look at the basis and the foundation for all of neurolinguistic programming and creation technologies. If you're following along with your manual, you may want to open up to the page with the NLP model of communication. This is inside your manual. Everything on the page that shows the picture of the model of communication, if you're not following along with the book, that's okay, you can look at it later. But on this page, basically, we have a picture of a person. And what this diagram says is that there's some information or some external event that is coming in through the five senses and being processed by this individual. Now, this is going to sound a little technical, but bear with me because it's worth it. This model gives us the basis and the foundation upon which all of it NLP is based. So it's important foundation work. So what this model says is that we process events through our five senses. Now, according to the Hungarian biologist Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, we're taking in, he's the author of the book Flow, wonderful book, but we take in approximately 2 million bits of information per second through the five senses. 2 million bits, that's a whole lot of information. But your nervous system can't handle all that information. So what it does, your wondrous nervous system does the job of deleting, distorting, and generalizing all that information and chunking it down into manageable chunk sizes for you. So it chunks it down into 7 plus or minus 2 chunks, which is about 134 bits. Now notice the difference. 2 million bits coming in, you're processing 134, or 7 plus or minus 2 chunks. That's a lot. That's a tremendous amount of information that you're leaving out. A tremendous amount of information. Think of it this way. Here's an easy way to explain it. Think of it like the World Wide Web. On the World Wide Web, how much information is out there on the World Wide Web? A whole lot of information, right? There's a tremendous amount of information on the World Wide Web. But if you go on your search engine and you punch in a specific word, let's say you punch in wealth on your search engine and you hit go, your computer will only pull up those things which coincide with the search word. It'll only pull up what you're looking for. And your nervous system works exactly the same way. So in life, we get what we look for. Our experience of life becomes that which we look for. I always tell people your focus, what you focus on, determines what appears in your world. Think about it this way. There are so many people around the world, and everybody has a different experience of the world. There's people that are living in wealth. There's people that are living in poverty. Everybody lives in their own world. From a subjective reality standpoint, take the world of a stockbroker and compare that with the world of the fisherman and the world of the professional bodybuilder. Three distinctly different worlds that they're living in. The thing that determines their world is where they're pointing the flashlight of their focus at any given moment. So let's talk about that for a second. So let's just take the issue of money, because inevitably in my seminars, I've got people that come to me and they ask me about money. How can I make more money? Well, think of yourself as being in the dark room of life, and in one corner is wealth, and the other corner is poverty. And all you've got is the flashlight of your focus. Now, what comes into your experience of life is dependent upon where you're shining the flashlight of your focus at any given moment. There are some people that only experience wealth in life. And those are the people that have the flashlight of their focus in that corner. And there's others that experience poverty. And that's all they experience. That's all they know. And that's where they've got the flashlight of their focus. Two distinctly different worlds. Two distinctly different life experiences. But what happens is their nervous system deletes, distorts, and generalizes anything that they're not looking for. And that's how your focus works. So you could go through your life and delete, distort, and generalize most of what's coming in and only get what you're looking for. So what's really interesting about this is that by changing your focus, you can instantaneously change your world, whether it be your financial world, whether it be the world of your relationships or your health. You can instantaneously change what's happening. You can instantly change your financial destiny by simply changing your focus. There's a wonderful commercial that I saw not too long ago. They showed the Wall Street Journal. Now, you may have seen this commercial before. It's a fantastic commercial. And it's a funny commercial, but it holds a lot of truth. There's two children that are twins, biological twins, and they're separated at birth. And one of them grows up reading Fisherman's Weekly, while the other one grows up reading the Wall Street Journal. So the one who reads Fisherman's Weekly ends up not going very far in life and not getting anywhere and not going anywhere financially for himself. And the other one, the one who's read the Wall Street Journal, has an entirely different life experience. He launches a company. He's going for mezzanine financing. He's about to take his company public. Now, there's more reality to that than immediately meets the eye. The reason is because this individual's focus is entirely different. He's reading the types of materials that would bring wealth into focus, bring it into his sphere of reality. And therefore, he begins sorting for wealth and looking for it. Now, the commercial was kind of a comical commercial, and I'm not saying by any means that a fisherman can't be financially successful as well. It's not a dichotomy. It's not an either-or, black-or-white choice. What it is just pointing out the fact that your focus determines your reality. You can have whatever you want in your life to the extent that you're willing to pay attention and place your focus on that which you want. Very interesting, when my fiance and I were looking for a car, and we finally decided on the type of car we wanted to buy. And interestingly enough, we didn't see a lot of these cars on the street before we decided to buy one. And then all of a sudden, they started showing up everywhere. Now, my question to you is this. Did the cars exist before we started seeing them, yes or no? Absolutely, they existed. They were always there. We just never looked for them. And that's the same way with wealth. It's always there. There's $13 trillion circulating around the planet every day. It's just the question is, what are you looking for? So what happens now, back to the NLP model of communication, out of 2 million bits, we're only getting 134, so we're leaving out a lot of information. And then what happens is we create what we call an internal map or an internal representation inside our mind. This is like a map of reality, and this is what we know reality to be. Our internal representations are made up of our pictures, sounds, feelings, tastes, smells, and self-talk. In NLP terminology, that's the visual, auditory, olfactory, gustatory, and auditory digital. So those are our senses. Those are what comprise our internal representations, or the thoughts. There's a user-friendly word, thoughts. Those are the thoughts in our mind. They're made up of those things, those five things: the pictures, the sounds, the feelings, the taste, the smells, and then the self-talk. I left one out. So those are the five things and the self-talk that make up our internal representations, or our thoughts inside our mind. Now, our thoughts or our internal maps of reality could never be reality itself. They couldn't be. In NLP, we say that the map is not the territory. So even the best map of California would not be California. Even if it was built to scale, it still wouldn't be California. So no matter how clear you are, your thoughts of reality could never be reality itself. In fact, there's a joke in NLP that says if there's a bank robbery and there's 10 people at the bank robbery, how many different descriptions of that bank robbery are you going to get? You're going to get 10 different descriptions. You probably get 11, because there's always at least one multiple personality. Just kidding. So different people experience reality in different ways based upon who they are. In fact, the Jewish oral tradition, the Talmud, says we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. And it's true. So your internal maps of reality could never be reality. Your internal representations could never be reality itself. So now let's talk about how we generate behavior, because behavior is determined by your internal maps of reality. So you've got your internal representation or your internal map of reality that couples with an internal state, an emotion or feeling, an emotional state, a feeling, a state of confidence, a state of power, a state of depression or sadness, whatever that state is, that couples with your internal thoughts. And both of those end up in the package of your behavior. They produce some behavior, and it's either behavior that you like or behavior that you don't like, right? But those are the things that determine what behaviors you produce. And that's the NLP model of communication. And your behavior is really all you have to work with in terms of producing results.